Leadership. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Hebrews 13:7. As we have already said throughout this book, along our path as daily disciples, we are called to have godly influence on others' lives. Leadership is a part of this, for influence and leadership are intertwined. Leadership isn't a goal every disciple will tackle automatically. If you do believe God is challenging you in the area of leadership, however, then this subject deserves your attention. If you are convinced that you are not yet ready to be a leader, then read this section with the understanding that at some point in the future, you may need to put these principles into practice. The best leader the world has ever seen is Jesus Christ. While Christ led and affected many, the epicenter of his work as a leader was the 12 disciples. If no one in the body of Christ is willing to lead, the undiscipled remain undiscipled. A leader, however, knows how to take people through a process he or she has already been through. A spiritual leader must be a mature Christian, someone who knows how to guide people through the Word. Most of all, this person must be close to Jesus so that he or she will be able to point others to Him. Successful leaders. When I received my doctorate in 1977, my dissertation was focused on leadership. I studied coaches in football, wrestling, basketball, and track and field, and the styles they use to lead young athletes. In society, we tend to perceive someone as a winner or loser simply on their win-loss record, and I studied both categories. The distinctive characteristic I observed for winning leaders was that they developed a style of leadership compatible with their assistant coaches, the athletic team members, and the type of sport. In other words, leaders must be adaptable and flexible in their approach. I found furthermore that leaders have a sense of vision. They can see the finished goal. With that goal as their focus, they know how to get going and lead others through a process that ultimately brings victory. Along the way, sometimes a leadership style change is necessary, but successful leaders are able to adapt their approach as circumstances demand. My research indicated that the difference between successful leaders and those who merely possess a few leadership qualities comes down to one key thing: attending to the details. Those that could do this well were the most successful. As Chuck Swindoll has stated, the difference between something good and something great is attention to detail. Doing our part. In his book Sold Out, Bill McCartney relates his experiences when he came to coach the Colorado University football program in 1982, which at the time was in shambles. Despite this, the players seemed quite content as long as they could look around and find someone in worse shape than they were. McCartney states, "We need people in our lives to challenge us, to inspire us to greater depths of passion and greater heights of commitment." In the same way that CU players justified their mediocrity by comparing themselves with their teammates, I see far too many Christians today who think and say they're okay with Jesus. They're comfortable spiritually. And why shouldn't they be? Looking around at all the other Christians, they see folks much like themselves. They see them and conclude that, hey, I spend as much time in prayer as that guy, or I read the Word more than most, or I attend church faithfully. And they delude themselves. They have measured their walk against someone else's standard of mediocrity. It's rampant in the church today. Much like athletes in a middle-of-the-road program, the Church of Jesus Christ today is filled with self-satisfied, lukewarm Christians, folks who are enamored with the trappings of culture and the comforts of conformity. Each of us has a responsibility. The sad reality seems to be that the mature individual, the good candidate to lead others, is scarce. And no wonder. We're too busy comforting ourselves by looking around at all the other people who aren't living up to par either. Leading by serving. Scripture has much to say about leadership. In particular, the teachings of King Solomon in the books of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, and King David in the book of Psalms, address this topic directly. The Bible's idea of good leadership isn't quite the same as the world's idea. In fact, the biblical concept goes against the grain of what makes sense to the world. A leader is a humble servant, like Jesus. Consider Christ's example, articulated beautifully in Philippians 2, 3-11. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When is the last time you have attended a leadership seminar where the motivational speaker's topic was making yourself nothing? What we see in the Bible clearly is not the world's model of leadership. How does this affect us practically? How can we become daily disciples like Jesus by making ourselves nothing? In the world, people are leaders simply because they have been given a job description, power, or control. This is something I'll call positional authority leadership. The positional authoritarian often offends people, causes anxiety, and worse. Arrogance comes naturally to the person in this position, and arrogance reflects selfishness, our sin nature as human beings. The opposite of this is functional authority leadership, the model Christ showed when he humbled himself as a servant leader. This sort of leader has an attitude not of selfishness, but of selflessness. This leader is a good listener, willing to get down and dirty and do menial tasks, a foot washer. The example of this leader's life is incredibly powerful. That's why this is the best type of leadership. Remember that Jesus was people-oriented, not task-oriented. Others were never a means to an end for Christ. They were the end. In our lives as daily disciples, the purpose of having godly influence in others' lives isn't so we can get our own way. Rather, our goal is to demonstrate Christ and bless others' lives along the way as we develop servant-focused leadership. Keeping leadership in perspective. As we seek to lead, not push another toward the disciple's life, we will have plenty of opportunities to demonstrate humility and love. Sometimes people don't want to be led the way of Christ. Remember that God respects each person's right to decide for himself. When we are leading and discipling another, we should be careful to do so with understanding and true concern for the person, rather than with a sense of superiority that attempts to hammer out change in the other's behavior. In the Corinthian church, at the time of Paul's first letter to them, believers were confused about their real identities. Some would argue, "I'm a disciple of Paul." Others, "I am a disciple of Apollos." Still others, "Peter is the one I follow." A few of them, though, did get it right. "I follow Christ." Leadership certainly is vital to the body of Christ, but no Christian's ultimate identity is ever in another person, not even a mentor. No matter who is leading and who is following within the church, we are all disciples of Jesus. The younger or less experienced people I may lead are not my disciples, nor am I a disciple of those who may mentor me along the way. Instead, we are each following Christ, encouraging one another on the journey. Paul's leadership progression. In the book of 2 Timothy, we see Paul giving some strong, perhaps urgent, instruction to a younger Christian. We read, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." 2 Timothy 2:2. Notice the progression here. There are three distinct steps Paul makes. 1. And the things you have heard, seen, experienced, witnessed, observed, and so on from mature Christian men and women, role models or leaders. 2. Entrust to reliable men, or pass on to other brothers and sisters who are trustworthy and reliable to teach the gospel to the next generation of believers. And 3. We must be qualified to teach others. See James 3:1 as well. We who teach will be held to a strict standard. In other words, we have to prove we are qualified because of the importance of our destination as disciples. As leaders, we set an example, whether we care to admit it or not, and others will follow in our steps. We don't want to lead anyone down the wrong path. Paul is trying to convey to his understudy, Timothy, the gravity and awesome responsibility, as well as the privilege and joy, a leader has for those who receive his teaching, knowledge, and understanding. Generations of Christians to come will be the product of a faithful discipler of men and women. In modern terminology, it might go something like this: let's do it right, and let's get it right the first time. Leadership examples. As stated at the beginning of the section, the best leader the world has ever seen is Jesus Christ. There are many other examples of great biblical leaders, as well as more modern examples. In my generation, I think of Winston Churchill, and a little farther back in history, Abraham Lincoln. I think of Mother Teresa and St. Francis of Assisi, as well as many, many other godly leaders, humble saints, many of whom were martyred. They have been used by God throughout history to forcefully advance His kingdom, Matthew 11:12. Esther. An example of a great leader in the Bible is Queen Esther. Even when Esther knew she would face possible death if she spoke to King Xerxes, unless she had been summoned into his presence, Esther's response was one of courage and devotion to God, to her cousin Mordecai, and to her Jewish people. She chose to approach her husband, the king, anyway, for this action was necessary to save the lives of the Jews. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Esther 4:15 and 16. Because of Esther's leadership and commitment, the Jews were delivered from death. She exposed the evil plan of Haman, one of the king's nobles, to extinguish the Jewish race. The Jews' sorrow was turned into joy, their mourning into a day of celebration. Esther was obviously concerned for her own well-being. Who wouldn't be? But her concern for others first made the difference in her life. When you are faced with a huge obstacle, how do you react? Do you put yourself first or others? Are you a true leader like Esther? Deborah. Before the days of Esther, Deborah was another rare female leader, a mother in Israel, according to Judges 5:7. God, through Deborah's leadership, helped Israel win a battle against their Canaanite antagonists. Deborah was the one who led the plan to overtake Sisera, the leader of the Canaanite army. The unique thing about Deborah was that she didn't view herself as a leader per se, but as a motherly, parental figure over Israel's people. In the absence of any official crown or title, Deborah cared enough about her people to allow God to use her to lead. Even for those of us who do not view ourselves as having an influential position of leadership, we can still be a mother or father type of leader to those around us. Deborah's example shows we can lead others in the right direction, even when normal circumstances wouldn't suggest we'd be the most likely leaders. David. If I could point to one biblical example of a leader as my favorite, it would have to be David. I can relate to David and the story of his mighty men, Josheb, Eleazar, and Shammah, the top three, and the 30 others he had under him who would fight for him to the death because of all he had done for them. Ultimately, David was a good leader because he was a man after God's own heart, 1 Samuel 13:14 and Acts 13:22. With David, life wasn't about style over substance. The Bible explains why David was a leader. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, 1 Samuel 16:7. I believe David was a good leader first because he was honest with God. Second, he was courageous as evidenced with Goliath. Third, he was repentant when he sinned against God with Bathsheba. And fourth, he was a lover of God. Psalm 51 reveals David had a humble spirit, though he was a leader, and a longing to be with God. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Psalm 51:17. David didn't just know about God, he knew God and loved him with all his heart, soul, and strength. And people followed. Are you a man or woman after God's heart? Making a difference. We can all be a leader to somebody, whether our spouses, children, siblings, friends, co-workers. Chances are someone is looking up to us. Biblically, we have the responsibility and calling to be good leaders. We can either accept it or ignore it. Musician Ray Bolts wrote a song a few years ago called Thank You. In this song, he tells about a Sunday school teacher who taught him of Jesus. Through this teacher, Bolts became a Christian. This song conveys an important truth. There are multitudes of unsung heroes, people who the world never noticed as leaders, but who made all of the difference for Christ in other people's lives. They are truly the greatest leaders because they were humble and focused on Jesus. They cared about others and acted out their love in concrete ways. As we are told in the book of James, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. James 2:26. This isn't legalism. This is reality. We can't lead without others being able to see the love tangibly evident in our lives. In his classic book, The Master Plan of Evangelism, Robert Coleman says this, "The world is desperately seeking someone to follow. That they will follow someone is certain, but will that person be one who knows the way to Christ? Or will he or she be one like themselves, leading them only on to greater darkness? This is the decisive question of our plan of life. The relevance of all that we do waits on its verdict, and in turn, the destiny of the multitudes hangs in the balance. Where are you today? Are you ready to take your place as a leader? Or are you waiting for something? The body of Christ needs good leadership now. How will you live from here on?"